Hello, and welcome to Open Door Playhouse, a theater podcast that celebrates live theater on the podcast stage. I'm Rachel Burney Needleman. At Open Door Playhouse, we strive to bring our listeners thoughtful and surprising 10-minute shorts and one-act plays that showcase insightful and new perspectives of the world we share with others. Open Door Playhouse is a 501c3 theater organization. Support for Open Door Playhouse comes from listeners like you. Your tax-deductible donations help keep our plays on the podcast stage. Donations can be made at www.opendoorplayhouse.org. Now playing, Amusing Willie, written by Donald Loftus, directed by Rachel Burney Needleman, starring Kenawan Bentley as Willie, Nicole Javier as Thalea, Desiree Mijung as Arato, and Geeta Reddy as Calliope.
And then she wakes up.
What? She wakes up?
Whoa! I did not see that coming.
Shush, Arato.
Well, pardon me.
And what exactly does he do?
How do you mean?
I mean, what is his reaction to her sudden resurrection from the dead?
Well, Calliope, he's thrilled, of course.
He's thrilled?
Yeah, well, naturally he is thrilled to see that she is, in fact, not dead.
Naturally. And then?
And then they have this huge wedding, and all of the family members who once were feuding are now getting along famously, and everything is really good, and everyone is really happy at last. The end.
The end? What?
You're having a go with us, ain't ya?
No, that cannot be the end.
No, I am not having a go, as you so cleverly put it. And yes, it is absolutely the end. What's wrong with it?
No, you're right. It is the end. It is the end of your playwriting career.
No! Why are you saying that?
Because it is the truth.
Truth schmooth. You are all so negative.
No one wants to see these characters happy and content.
Not after what you've put us through for the last 3 hours.
Oh. And, by the way, the prologue promised the play would only occupy the 2-hour traffic of our stage. So, we are already kind of angry.
We have sat here through 5 acts in 23 scenes.
Something had better happen.
Something does happen. It can always be about murder, revenge, treachery, madness, and moral corruption. Oh, sure, those things are terrific. But in this case, they all live happily ever after.
The critics will crucify you.
Okay, Calliope, ladies, why don't you just go ahead and tell me how I should end my own play?
No, really.
Let's just cut to the chase.
No, it is your play, Willie.
That's right. We've no right to rewrite it.
But we should be able to offer our suggestions.
Well, okay, then.
It is entirely up to you whether or not you take them and put them to good use. But if you don't want to hear our...
No, out with it. You are meant to be my muses. Amuse me.
Okay, give us a minute. So, then it was the...
Arato? Well, why aren't you in the huddle?
I don't do plot development. I'm only here to add the colour.
Okay. Here it is. In the final scene, you have him go into an insane, violent rage as he breaks into her family tomb.
He breaks into the tomb. Why would he do that?
To see her one last time.
Because he loved like crazy.
But then his rival... Oh, what's his name?
Paris.
Wait. Can we pause and reflect here for a moment?
Now what?
It's these names you've chosen.
What of it?
It's just that Naming all of your male roles after major cities, well, it just isn't working for me. Rome, Paris, Constantinople.
I have to agree. It's taking me out of the play every time I hear one of these.
Well, I thought that was kind of fun.
It's not.
Okay. But Paris has to stay. I promised a buddy of mine named Paris that I'd use his name in my next play.
Fine. But let's change Constantinople to Tybalt.
And Rome to Romney. No. Romanoff.
How about Romeo?
Romeo? I like that.
Okay. So now, Romeo gets to the tomb and...
Oh, what were you saying about his rival?
Oh, right. Then his rival, Paris, thinks he has come to mess around with the bodies, you know, like desecrate them in some way, just to be a punk.
And not just his girlfriend's body, but all her dead aunties and uncles who are lying about.
So Paris jumps Romano, but Romano has a knife, and he stabs Paris and kills him. Oh!
Then Romeo... Caesar, and he is dazzled by her beauty, even though she is clearly, or forever, or so he thinks, dead as a doorknob.
And without hesitation, he kisses her. He drinks the poison and dies at her side.
What? He kills himself? So now, Mercutio, Tybalt, Romeo, and Paris are all dead.
What a fun play!
and isn't Sleeping Beauty going to be surprised when she finally wakes up?
Oh, yes, hold on. A moment later, the friar arrives and discovers the dead bodies of Romeo and Paris. She then awakens from her death-like sleep and looks for Romeo, saying, "Where is my Romeo?"
Then, upon seeing the bodies of Romeo and Paris, she freaks the fuck out!
And she takes Romeo's dagger and kills herself.
Right.
Holy shit! Now they are all dead!
I'm afraid so.
But how is the audience going to feel about that?
They are going to love it!
Oh, yes.
Okay, you know, while I do appreciate your help and guidance, I have to say that this time I must put my foot down and go with my own artistic instincts.
Bad idea. The last time you did that, you gave us the Two Gentlemen of Verona.
That's right. And what a piece of garbage that was.
Okay, that's being a little harsh, don't you think?
Well, don't take it personally, darling.
I worked on that piece of garbage for like a fortnight.
Oh, don't get me wrong. There were a couple of witty lines. Well, maybe just the one.
Yeah, but really, most of the play was a steaming pile of...
It's true, Willie. And while I am not one to judge past works by present standards, the casual misogyny at the conclusion of the play was alone awful enough to make the whole evening a disturbingly dismal dumpster fire.
Well, Thalea, you hate everything I do.
Willie, that is simply not true. Name one other play.
Pericles.
Okay, well, you got me there. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the rancid cesspool that Two Gentlemen was, and I actually liked Act Four, but... You're right.
The first three acts were so wretched, I thought you were trying to write a horrific play, and if you were, then you succeeded.
Oh. Thank you?
At one point, one of your dull characters discusses how poor his speaking is. I thought for sure you were being ironic.
Oh, but if we are bringing up the works that are better left forgotten, let's not forget... The Two Noble Kinsmen.
Too late. Everyone already has.
Now, I thought you muses were supposed to inspire me.
Of course.
Well, just so you know, right now you are only inspiring me to choose a different career.
Oh, come on. We just named a few of the nasty ones. Most of your other works will probably last another 5, maybe 6 years. The rest of your plays are quite good, actually.
Hold on. Lest we forget the charmless, plotless, lead characterless mess that was entitled The Merry Wives of Windsor.
Oh, come on. There were a few charming bits in that one.
Not really.
And this is why you need to heed our words. We're here to help.
We've reminded you of these past second-rate excursions onto the stage, not to torment you to excess, as you tormented every character and most of the audience in The Taming of the Shrew, but instead to help you.
Remember when you were working on The Winter's Tale? We told you that you had to make a decision. Was it to be a comedy or a tragedy? It can't be both, but did you listen?
Well, you know, you haven't mentioned the Henrys. Can I therefore assume that you liked the Henrys?
Actually, 4 and 6 left me cold. 8, I left at intermission. Don't get me wrong, it wasn't bad.
But it was still not nearly as good as it could and should have been.
The Comedy of Errors.
Oh, too sweet.
Timon of Athens.
Too bitter.
A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Too fluffy.
That's it! I'm turning in my quill pen for a hammer and a saw. I'll be a carpenter, and I'll be done with the lot of you.
Nonsense. You have and will continue to write brilliant plays. Not every play has to be life-changing. Fun and smart also have their place.
We are only reminding you of some of our past advices. Advices that you ignored, so that you will make the right decisions about this play that you are working on.
That's right, Willie. We are here to inspire you. Help you.
And of course, it will always be your decision whether you take our advice or not.
And whether you have a grand success
or a pathetic failure.
Okay. I understand, and I do appreciate your help.
And Willie, there is just one more thing about this current project, this play that you are working on.
Yes, Calliope. What is it?
It's the title.
The title?
Romeo and Jezebel. Just doesn't fall right on the ear. Give that some thought, will you?
Okay. I will.
Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and stay right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top.
Our plays are produced by Bernadette Armstrong, recorded at Oak House Studio in Altadena, California, mixed and designed by our talented sound engineer David Peters. Post-production sound effects are provided by Audio Jungle and music from Karaoke Version. If you are interested in submitting a play for production, you can find that information on our website, www.opendoorplayhouse.org, as well. Please share this podcast with friends, and don't forget to subscribe so you will be notified when our next production is live.